This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, sitting in for Terry Gross. Norman Mailer once wrote that before he was 17, he had formed the desire to be a major writer. Well, that wish certainly came true, and today he turns 80. To celebrate, we'll listen back to a conversation Terry recorded with Mailer in 1991. But first, we have this appreciation from Fresh Air's book critic, Maureen Corrigan.
The Lion in Winter. Norman Mailer turns 80 today. In his youth, Mailer wrote an essay about meeting the aged Dorothy Parker in Hollywood. He was appalled by her overpowdered nose and her eyes, baggy from decades of drink. Now, for younger generations, Mailer is the literary relic, pickled in bourbon. Not that, as a social critic, he ever seemed quite au courant, with his chest thumping against women's libbers and gays, his weird encomiums to the primitive cool of black men, his penchant for He-Man sports like boxing and bullfighting, already derivative of Hemingway's, and his screeds against the computer and television. Mailer always seemed like a literate Hepcat version of Archie Bunker, a man proudly and loudly out of joint with his time, a public man easy to mock. That is, until you read him. There's lots of Mailer to read, and there's lots to avoid. That's the problem with hitting it big early, as Mailer did at age 25 with his first novel, The Naked and the Dead, based on his army experiences in World War II. That early debut gave Mailer a lot of time to make mistakes. But part of his appeal is that he's husky, outsized. So when he makes mistakes, they're whoppers, like the more recent novels on ancient Egypt and the life of Christ. And when he publishes collections of his prose and fiction, like the Whitman-esque Advertisements for Myself and the beefy 1998 retrospective, The Time of Our Time, they're marbled through with lard that arguably makes the prime cuts all the more succulent. The book of Mailer's that I've read and reread, the book that devastates me with its high culture brilliance, street smarts, humor, and serpentine sentence structure, is The Armies of the Night, his 1968 account of the March on the Pentagon that won him the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. Even the best accounts of the public events of the 1960s that I've read by other writers seem momentarily flat by comparison. In Armies, Mailer ruminates on the folly of the war in Vietnam and the easy arrogance of the New Left. He probes the fissures between his public and private identity and charts his two-day drinking binge. Pompously and nervously, he compares himself to fellow protester, poet Robert Lowell. Mailer also beats the postmodern theorists by a good decade in meditating on the porous boundaries between fiction and history. Not to mention that long before the term political correctness was revived as a pejorative, Mailer nailed political correctness in Armies as he contemplates the apartment of a liberal academic who hosts a party for him and the other eminent men of letters joining the march. Listen to Mailer. Conservative professors tend to have a private income, so their homes show the flowering of their taste. But liberal professors are usually poor and programmatic, so secretly they despise the arts of home adornment. Their houses look one like the other, for the wives gave up Herculean careers as doctors, anthropologists, labor relations experts. Great servants of the social program were lost when the women got married and relinquished all for Hubber and the kids. So the furnishings are functional. The prevailing hues of wall and carpet and cloth are institutional brown and library gray. The paintings and sculpture are abstract, hopeless imitation Ben Shahn. But bet your $25 to win an assured $10 that the artist on the wall is a friend of the host, has the right political ideas, and will talk about literature so well you might think you were being addressed by Maxim Gorky. In scope and prose style, Mailer reads here like one of the great Victorian social critics, Thomas Carlyle, John Ruskin, Matthew Arnold, whom he references in the title of Armies. Except that, unlike his fellow sages, Mailer is funny and randy and self-buffooning. His personal tetchiness in that passage expands outward into a larger epiphany about American life. That's how Armies of the Night works, as well as his other masterpieces of new journalism, the literary form that Mailer helped pioneer in the 1960s. The contemporary lesser inheritors of new journalism take themselves way too seriously. Mailer's genius in Armies, in Miami and the Siege of Chicago, and even in his nonfiction novel, The Executioner's Song, derives from his bear-hug grip on absurdity. Unlike his idol Hemingway, Mailer has always played the tough guy as clown. Whether you're fighting a war or opposing one, he's the writer you want with you in the foxhole.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.